You're listening to Connecting Minds, the Student Mental Health Podcast, brought to you by the Union of Students in Ireland. Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 3 of Connecting Minds. I'm your host, Sarah Hughes. I'm delighted today to be introducing you to Joe Donoghue, Mental Health Promotion Manager with Mental Health Ireland. Welcome, Joe. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks a million for having me, Sarah. It's absolutely delighted to be here and telling you all about our amazing campaign. Hello, how are you?
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this campaign. I know it's not the first year running it, but I love the overlaps that it has with our own Open Up campaign, but how it goes deeper as well. Could you tell us a little bit about the campaign and what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing is it's a grassroots campaign, which is amazing. So this is a campaign that started in County Carlow in 2015. And it's based on an initiative over in Australia called the Are You OK Day. Now, while that Are You OK Day is a suicide prevention campaign, but it's similar. It's like asking, are you OK? So we wanted to make it a bit more Irish. Actually, we wanted to make it a bit more Carlow. And we called it then, you know, how are you? And it was running for a few years in Carlow. Mental Health Ireland then kind of thought, you know, the Mental Health Association in Carlow was affiliated to Mental Health Ireland, and we were receiving support, but they were thinking like we might be able to make this a little bit bigger. So we shared it at a Brag and Steel event and a couple of other mental health associations. Mayo took it on and really loved it as a campaign, and it translated a little bit different in Mayo, which was lovely. And then Meath and Westmeath took it on as well. So after that kind of testing of it, Mental Health Ireland decided to kind of invest in the campaign and develop it as a national campaign, which is what we saw last year, the first year of the national campaign. And to be honest, Sarah, we were blown away with its impact and with the engagement. The first year of any campaign, you kind of expect, you know, to be, you know, banging down doors for people to get involved. But in fact, it was the opposite. We had huge engagement. So last year we had 200 events run across the country, and we developed lots of resources for organizations and individuals and companies or groups to organize events. But I suppose the Hello, How Are You campaign is about meaningful conversations. So the idea around it is to say hello to somebody on the day. This year it's the 30th of March. So it's about saying hello and asking the question, how are you, but asking it with meaning. So we often walk down the street and it's like, hey, how's it going? And, you know, how are you? And what's the crack? And whatever. So it's about actually being really thinking about that question and being, you know, prepared for the answer, and I suppose putting a little bit more effort in how we're asking that question. So I think that's really important. What we've done at Mental Health Ireland, and you see it here on my backdrop, and we've developed these, which are called conversation cards. And this is the main framework of and the main resource of the campaign. So what it does is it kind of offers people steps to asking the question. So we're not just saying to people, hey, go out and say hello, how are you? We've given them information on the different steps. So the hello is, say hello, engage, learn about the person, listen, and then the options for the person. So if you do have a conversation and someone is having some challenges, it's very much about like engage with them. So we're encouraging people to maybe pick the space. So, you know, if you're having a conversation, maybe go into a quiet place, maybe have a coffee with them or be out for a walk. It's about learning what's going on for the person so that you're not making assumptions. So it's not like, oh, you're saying you're tired. Oh, it must be because you have a brand new baby or a new job. You know, really, like, you know, give a bit of time to learn about what's going on. And then listening. And that's really important. So it's that piece of, you know, really try to listen to the person so the person feels heard. And then the options. So, and it's not about, you know, you having options for that person or solutions for the person, but it's about them looking and exploring the options for themselves. How can they move forward from the challenge? And so we've developed a lot of resources to support people. Like we have the conversation card on our website in 13 different languages. We have lots of schools, resources as well, actually, and resources for third level colleges as well. We've linked it to some of the curriculums. We have posters. We have posters in different languages. So we've developed a lot of resources. But even though this is a mental health campaign, it's about, you know, having meaningful conversations, It's about breaking the barriers to having conversations about mental health. It's about connection. It's about looking at trying to, you know, tackle isolation. It's about people knowing where to get support and help if they need it, because there's a signposting element. But when we talk about connection, it's really important, because it doesn't have to just be about someone who's having challenges, you know. So it can be just connecting in with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. It can be feeling part of something bigger than yourself. So we would say that to people, like, you know, maybe have a think about who you want to say hello and how are you to on the day. But if you're not comfortable with the how are you, it can be maybe just stop at hello, you know, and it could be walking down the street and having, you know, eye contact with somebody. And that can be a connection. Be sending a text to somebody, that can be a connection, you know. So there's lots of different levels to this. And while Mental Health Ireland has offered toolkits and supports and resources for organisations across the country to organise events for the hello, we want individuals to get involved as well. So, like, organisations are organising events and they're saying hello, or actually companies this year are saying hello to their staff. How are you? You know, or we value you. Like, our local creche here, where my son is, they're getting involved, and the board of management is organising a nice lunch for the staff. It's like, happy days, you know. So they may not be saying how are you, but they're saying we value you, you know, which I think is a lovely thing to do. So there's lots of levels to this as a campaign. We, at the moment, we're expecting to have about 250 events across the country. Irish Rail are involved. We're going to be in Houston Station handing out conversation cards on the day, in Kent Station in Galway, and in Kent Station Kent in Galway and Kent in Cork. It's very confusing. They sound so similar. So we're going to be handing out conversation cards, engaging with people, asking people who they want to say hello to. It's just it's really exciting. I'm so passionate about it now, so you'll have to stop me if I'm talking too much, because I literally go and rant about it. I was involved in the initial Hello, How Are You in Carlow in 2015. And I have seen this grow from that. And lucky enough now to be the national lead for it, with and being employed by Mental Health Ireland to bring it to another level with the most amazing team. You know, we have a team looking after fundraising element of it, and corporate element, evaluation, training, resource, like, unreal. That's where we're at. That's, I suppose, the crux of Hello.
It's such a fantastic campaign. Like, our Open Up campaign, it encourages people to open up around, like, it, obviously, if they are struggling with their mental health themselves, to open up and seek help, but also to kind of normalize that conversation. You know, when you say, hey, how's it going? In Ireland, we're like, yeah, I'm grand. Yeah, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You're not going to really hear, well, actually, I'm not having a great day today. And we sort of encourage that. But I think the messaging of our campaign is encouraging the person who needs to talk to be the one to make this first step. But we also understand, when you're having a tough time, it can be so hard to make that first step. And so having somebody approach you and say, yeah, how's it going? How are you doing? Can actually be that sort of the thing that breaks the dam for you to be able to open up.
Yeah.
And I think the bit you were saying there about the active listen, like, we're great in Ireland about having a solution ready to go. And I think it's a barrier, particularly for many students. Like, we understand from research we did pre-COVID that students would like to be there more for their friends when they're going through a tough time, but they don't really feel confident in doing that. And my gut feeling is that it's because they're like, well, I don't know what the solution is for them. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a power in knowing that you don't have to be the solution in order to be of help to somebody. You know, just within that conversation, even just the conversation itself can be a part of a solution.
And I think actually sometimes that can really disempower when someone is trying to fix something for somebody else. Because, you know, we've all been in that situation. Like, how am I to learn unless I can figure this out myself? And sometimes there isn't solutions. Like, there isn't a physical solution, or there isn't. Sometimes it's about someone just changing their thoughts on something. Sometimes it's about acceptance. Sometimes it's about not accepting. So it isn't really clear cut, like, these are the solutions. And I know you and I were chatting before this, and I was telling you, like, that I was having a chat the other day with somebody, and I went straight into, like, looking at the person's solutions for them and thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, this is not helping that person. Like, I was talking over her to say, have you tried, have you, like, eating okay? And how, you know, and I really wasn't listening, because when the more I speak, the less I'm hearing, you know. And to be a good listener and to be is allowing an opportunity for a person to be heard, because sometimes that's enough. It doesn't have to be about the solution, and person can walk away and the world is not saved, but the person may feel heard, you know, may feel seen, and that might be enough. They may feel connected, and that might be enough.
Yeah, and I think as well, like if you automatically jump into, have you tried this, have you done this, and the person's going yes and yes and yes, and yet they're still feeling that way, you could be unwittingly make that person feel like a failure, because well, the solutions you're offered didn't fix things for me.
Yeah,
you know,
or it's like this worked for me, you know, and I'm always really conscious of that, because you know, I've been part of conversations where someone has said, like, you know, if it's weight loss or something, it's like, oh, you have to try this program, like I lost all the weight on this program. And you're like, well, you know, I tried 100 programs and none of them have worked for me. So I'm conscious of, like, when I'm saying, like, say at the moment I'm counting calories, for example, right? And I might say to somebody, this is working for me really well, this is the app, you know, or I'm walking, that's working for me. But it's not like we have to try this. It's like reframing how you talk about something, which becomes less of a barrier to the other person, because they're like, oh my God, this person won't drop it until I do what they did, because it worked for them. Because we're all individuals, you know, and we all have different favorite colors and different favorite foods, and we're just not the same people, you know. I think that that's really important. And as you said as well, Sarah, like it can be a barrier, because someone's like, well, I don't know how to fix that for that person, so I'm not going to even start that conversation. And if we change our thinking on that, and if we see it as a conversation and not as someone stepping in to make something better for somebody else, that the conversation is enough. And I think if we can look at that and change our thinking on it, then we will have more meaningful conversations. And then there's a ripple effect to that, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that feeds back into what you were saying about, you know, it's not even necessarily about, you know, the idea of it being specific to somebody that you know is struggling that you're reaching out to. It's about just making that connection, because I think, you know, particularly we know in the student population that loneliness is a big issue, and isolation, and particularly like the date for this campaign is the 30th of March, which is right before exam period, when, you know, everybody's hermited away studying at the books and all of that. And I think if we don't focus it on a problem solving sort of approach, we can actually have these conversations in a preventative way, in terms of, well, we've kept connections up with somebody, we've, you know, we've helped to mitigate that loneliness where they don't have an identifiable issue or a mental health struggle per se, but we've also played a small role in helping them not get to the point where they have that issue. And I think particularly as we're coming out of, you know, I know we're a good bit down the road from lockdown and that from COVID, but I think we are still feeling the impact of having been isolated so much that, you know, having, you know, we see social anxiety and people not knowing really how to make small talk anymore and stuff. And the Hello, How Are You framework does just that. It provides a framework that both sides of the people in the conversation can say, okay, well, we have steps we know we can follow to get to a shared connection at the end of it. And I think that's a huge part of the power of this campaign.
And I think that's a really lovely way of putting it, Sarah. It's like that shared connection. So it's not the power of one, it's the power of the connection and the conversation. So it's not me doing, it's me being involved in. And I think that's really important. And sometimes people don't want to have a conversation, and that's fine. You know, and I think that's all part of it. Like you might say to someone, how are you? And you know, like I remember I heard an interview about the Are You Okay Day and when I in Australia, and I thought, this is cool, let's try this in Carlow. And I brought it to the committee, and the committee were like, love it, you know, and a subgroup got together and developed it. But I remember trying it out on a friend, you know, and like I wasn't like a dog with a bone, but she just didn't sound great, you know, and I had a chat with her and I was like, you don't sound great. And she said, no, I'm not in a good place. And like she had a good chat with me, and it turns out she had some stuff going on she hadn't spoken to anyone about. But just because I had heard this interview and I'd said, I'm going to ask her so that she knows I'm actually okay with whatever answer. So I wasn't like, hey, how's it going, in a hurry. I was like, and how are you? You don't sound great, or whatever I said to her. And turns out she ended up getting some counselling. She had a chat with her husband, and we never talked about it again. You know, it never came up. I think I rang her about 3 weeks later and said, how have you been since? And she said, oh, actually, I spoke to the hubby and I'm actually after organising some counselling and I feel a lot better. That was it. She never talked about it. That was years. She doesn't know. She will not remember that. I know she won't remember that conversation. I will, because it was linked to the campaign and all that kind of crap. So it's a bit different for me. But sometimes people don't want to talk because they're not ready to talk. And that's grand. But it doesn't mean you can't have a walk or go for a coffee, you know, or head to the cinema or do something with, like, so you can, like, be shoulder to shoulder with the person. You don't have to be eye contact conversation. But that is still connection. And that is still offering something to somebody. And it's both. And that's another thing. Like, it's not about me giving. Like, every time I look at someone in the eye in the shop, or if I get a smile out of someone, you know, if I'm, you know, in the shopping, you know, getting my shopping and putting it in the bag, and I actually engage with the person who's taking my money, and, like, instead of just my head down and putting it in and gone, and I'd say, how are you going? Or have you long left in your shift? Or, you know, whatever it is. I always feel better coming out of it. So, and I'm sure the other person probably does, you know, kind of feel like, oh, well, at least I'm seeing her, you know. Or actually, something that a friend of mine does, and I've started to do it now as well, is, again, it's not about conversation, but sometimes if I'm going through a toll bridge, one that you pay money, not Dublin, I spend a lot of time in Waterford. So if I go through the toll in Waterford, I pay for the car behind me, right? So pay the €2 and say, can the car behind me come for free? That's their money, whatever. And the person who takes the money is always like, God, fair play, you know, so that's a little bit of a connection. And then the person, whoever gets the free, you know, toll, is probably thinking, God. And I like to think that there'd be a ripple effect, and that person then might go and be nice to someone else, you know, and then that person, you know, it seems a bit simplistic and a bit maybe airy-fairy, but I think unless we start doing things like that, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't think we'll know if they have any effect. But just connection is so, so powerful, you know.
That's it. And I do think, you know, I hear what you're saying about it maybe sounding a bit sort of airy-fairy, but I do think we often underestimate the power of a little action and of a little change. You know, you hear anecdotes of people who've been in really dark headspaces and, you know, they're making plans to take their own lives and stuff like this. And then somebody says, hello, or mind yourself, or whatever. And it can be enough to just shift their mindset just enough that they live to see the next day, or they say, do you know what, I'm actually going to call that person that I know cares about me, or I'm going to reach out for help. So, you know, it might seem like it's a really small act on the part of the person who's taking the act, but the impact of it could be disproportionately large. Yeah. Like, just because it feels small to do it doesn't necessarily mean it's small to receive it. And I think that's another part of the campaign that's really key, is that, you know, yes, we're asking people to sort of reach into their friends and their family and the people around them and ask how they are. We're not asking anybody to sign up to be somebody's counselor or psychiatrist. No. We're just asking to have a conversation. And like you say, maybe the person you reach out to says, do you know what, I'm not doing great, or, and I don't want to talk about it, or I'm doing fine, even though, you know, they're not really. But you've at least symbolized, I'm a safe person to come and talk to if they change their mind about that.
Yeah.
So even if it isn't, you don't end up having this big, deep conversation where there's a plan of action at the end of it, it could be, like, not to sound sort of, you know, grandiose and like I'm exaggerating, but stuff like that can be life-saving for people without anybody even realizing it, even the person whose life is being saved themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And I think some of it comes back to boundaries. It's about a person having their own boundaries, or you having boundaries as well. And just like, you know, if someone isn't ready, is, you know, as you said, someone is like not ready, but they know, like, you're available the next time. Like, I had a conversation with someone recently who has a hospital appointment, and they were really clear. I was like, I don't want to get into it, but I'm just letting you know I have this appointment. And I'm like, okay, hope everything's okay. If you need me, I'm here. That was it. Simple. I didn't go into, oh my God, like, what's going on? Or I didn't even really think about it again, you know. And I think people are allowed to have their boundaries. They're allowed to choose not to get into it, you know. But as you said, if you can still say, how are you? And if they don't want to talk now, doesn't mean they won't talk tomorrow or in a week's time. Or if they're at a really low ebb, that they won't think, well, I know who I can ring because, you know, that person genuinely has asked me before, you know, which I think is really, really key. And it is that two-way piece, and it's that piece of, like, I don't have to be all things. And it's a bit like a conversation is a bit like a dance. Do you know, it's moves, it's like, and there's a rhythm, you know, and it's like, who's next? And you have to allow for that. It can't be one person saying everything. It has to be a bit like, you know, a bit of back and forth and a bit of a rhythm, you know. And yeah, so I mean, connection is, I think it's really powerful, and conversation and being part of something bigger than yourself. And sometimes just having a cup of coffee with somebody, or picking up the phone to somebody, you know, having a walk, doing whatever it is probably more powerful than we realize. And I know there was a study done recently on loneliness, and how loneliness can affect our health more than cigarettes, you know. And when you think about it, because we all know how bad cigarettes are for your health, you know, when you think about that, you think, wow, you know, because you just think of it as loneliness, you know, but it can really, really affect our health, you know.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, so as we said, the specific hello, how are you day is on the 30th of March. But I think we're both in agreement that it's not just confined to that day. We in USI, we bring the hello, how are you merchandise with us on every campus visit. So if you are on a campus where we're doing a campus visit, feel free to come up and engage with us around that material, as well as around the rest of the mental health material that we have. Because I think this is, you know, we're great in terms of having days or weeks for mental health. But I think the importance of this campaign is that you can ask this question at any time, in any manner, in any situation. And I think that's kind of the key thing for us. And I think, as we've talked about, there's a lot of layers to this campaign. There's a lot of elements to it. And I wonder if there was one particular sort of, I suppose, soundbite or message that you would like every student listening to this podcast today to take away with them, either about the campaign or about mental health or about the conversations that we have with each other. What would that be, do you think?
The first thing I'd say is organise an event on the 30th and register it on our website and go and say hello, how are you? That'd be the first thing. But really, I think it would probably be, don't underestimate the power of asking a simple question. Don't underestimate the power of picking up the phone. Don't underestimate the power of looking someone in the eyes when you say hello to them. Don't underestimate the power of asking the question where someone knows that you are available to them and willing to have that conversation about something. And I think that's really important, because people underestimate themselves, and they underestimate, as you said it already, Sarah, like, they underestimate the small little actions that they can do and the power that that has. And I think that's what hello, how are you is about. It's like, everyone says it. We say it every day of the week, you know, hey, how's it going? How are you? But it's when it's said with meaning, it can be really, really powerful. And I think that's the main message of this particular campaign, you know?
Absolutely. And so my final question to you is one question that I ask every guest that I have on the podcast. And that is, what is your favorite or your main act of self-care that you would engage in yourself?
So that changes for me at different times, depending on what's going on in my life. At the moment, it's walking. And I have to say, like, you know, I'm kind of leading out in the campaign with an amazing team. We're all really busy. As you can imagine, it's a national campaign, or, you know, there's all the fiddly bits in the background. I also have a young person in my life and, you know, family and all of that. So it's quite busy, but I haven't compromised on my walks over the last number of months. So I'm walking about 6 days a week, come rain or shine. So I am getting out, I'm putting on my waterproofs, I'm listening to podcasts or making phone calls on the way. And I have to say, it has kept my head over water, because there's been times I've been quite stressed with different things. And I kind of feel, for me, like, I just go out and I shake it off, and then I come back and I'm like a different person. I'm feeling, you know, physically fit. So I'm more able for it. The tiredness isn't getting to me as much because I'm physically fit. But my head is so clear when I come back from those walks. It just, it's like kind of reset. It's a reset button. Have my walk in, and I tend to do it kind of in the evenings after a meal, when I'm kind of at my tiredest and probably most vulnerable. And like some days I come bounding in, I'm like, yeah, I've done 6K. And like last night it was like I walked in and had walked in the rain the two previous nights, like drenched. Like a neighbor of mine pulled the window down in her car, and she was like, "You're some hardy woman, go for it, you know." And I said, "I'm doing this for my head, you know." But the weather was gorgeous last night, and I was wrecked. I was like, I felt every step of it. But when I came home, I was so glad I did it. So that's for me. And at different times, I swim in the sea if I can, or I have to connect with people. Actually, that's a big one for me. So if I work from home a lot, and I do this a lot, computers, you know. So I try to arrange to meet someone for a coffee or lunch at least once a week, or like a friend or a buddy, where I can actually look at them in person and get an out hug off them, and you know, maybe sometimes like have a treat, you know. So, and that's really important too. So yeah, so it's very simple. It's not bells and whistles. It's not like, you know, I don't know, like surfing, or, you know, it's very simple stuff, having a coffee and going out for a walk, you know.
But I think that sort of echoes what we've been talking about this whole time, that, you know, it's the simple stuff that works. And I think what really strikes me about, as you were talking there about your walks, is that it's okay, so it's the thing that you do makes a difference, but it's also how you prioritize it. And it's even when life is busy, it's a non-negotiable for you. I think we can be great at, when life gets busy, it's the self-care things are first things to that we let slip, that we kind of get less good at doing. But that's when it's the most important to kind of double down on prioritizing them.
I think that's something you learn. And I think there's a bit of maturity to that. I think in the past, I would have let that slip, and the consequences aren't nice. I find it a lot harder to come back then to a place where I'm good and I'm well. And so if I keep maintaining that, and like, I'm lucky, I work in the mental health space, you know, so I know the language, and I think about, like, I'm a RAP facilitator as well. And I understand, like, about the wellness toolbox, you know, and I often think about that. And I have friends, it's gas, because when I walk, sometimes I walk because, you know, I'm after eating chocolate, you know, and I want to spit into the jeans or whatever. But then most of the time, that's secondary. The first part of the walk for me is the head. And I have a friend who said to me, it was a couple of years ago, and she said, "God, it's gas. Because when you walk, you always say you're doing it for your head." And I was like, oh my God, yeah, it is part of my mental health toolbox. It's the one thing, you know, I jog sometimes, or I do other sports or whatever. But for me, walking or sweating, you know, getting out, fresh air. And she said, so interesting, because she's not in this space. She's not used to talking about mental health. She doesn't think about things in relation to how they affect her mental health, whereas I do. But it's interesting because I've said it as a little bit of a ripple effect, because now she's thinking about that. Should she get out for a walk because of her head? You know, which is really good. So for me, it's the head first. And again, like that prioritizing, and like the everything could be falling around me. You know, like I was thinking, it's terrible to say, but it's the thing that's keeping me going. And my mom is in hospital at the moment, and I was thinking, oh Christ, can I, like, how am I going to get my walk in if I have to go down and see her? And like, and I was thinking, okay, well, I'll do it then, and then I'll get down to see her. So I'm fitting it in, because I know if I don't, I'll feel a little bit not great tomorrow, you know. So yeah, it is about and showing yourself kindness, which again can sound airy fairy, and it's a term I'm getting used to talking about, kindness to myself. But if I'm treating myself a little bit better by making sure of my walks, then I'm treating others around me a little bit better as well, and I'm kinder to them, big time. Like, I find myself coming back from the walks, and I love everyone, you know. Love everyone in this house. For the walks, they can be a bit challenging, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, Jo, thanks very much again for coming on to chat to us. I really enjoyed our chat, and I think the campaign is fantastic, and I can see it being every success. And, you know, I've full confidence we'll be back here again next year talking about next year's plans for it.
And so thanks a million. Thank the Union of Students in Ireland, because, you know, last year you supported us, you're supporting us again this year. And it's great to see, you know, you and your own campaign as well. But it's great to see the campaigns with students, because it's a really stressful time. I'm actually a student at the moment myself. I'm doing a postgrad up in NUIG. Oh, my God, not easy. And it's a really stressful time. Exams, referencing alone, I think, should be banned forever. You know, it's just so stressful. So I think the work that you're doing is great, and kind of putting mental health on the agenda for students is really good. So I just want to say a big thanks for Mental Health Ireland. Just thanks for your support. And you seem to have bought into the low how are you. So there's no convincing with you, which is great. So, and you're selling it well for us. So, you know, really appreciate that.
No problem at all. So thank you for listening to today's episode. Connecting Minds is made possible thanks to funding from the National Office for Suicide Prevention. If you have any comments or questions about today's episode, the podcast, or the work that USI are doing on student mental health, please feel free to contact us. Details of how to do so are available in the show notes. Sources of support are also included in the show notes. Struggling in any way with your mental health. Take care for now.